This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the Community Forum. We are glad to have you with us as we talk today about foster care. Dr. Sharon Ford is with us. She's with Focus on the Family, but she spent 30 years with the Department of Child Welfare in Colorado and now is dealing with these issues through Focus on the Family. And we have some really good information for you today. And if you are considering fostering children, Dr. Ford has all the info you're going to need. Thanks for joining us on the program, Dr. Sharon Ford. Let me ask you first about the issue of fostering. How big of a need is it in this country, and has that changed over the years?
First of all, the need is huge. And the second part to your question is it has changed. There have been ebbs and flows. There were seasons where there were fewer children who were coming into care. And so the counties and states were doing better at using kinship care and serving kids in their own home, and fewer kids were thus coming in. However, the need is growing. More kids are coming into care because drugs, alcohol, mental health issues, poverty issues.
It almost sounds like the preventative kind of a thing is the way to lower the numbers in the system then, correct?
100%. If we could serve children in their own home, in their own community, by supporting their birth families so that they're not having the trauma of being removed from them, being able to stay connected to their school, their friends, kids are going to be healthier, their family, giving them access to resources, makes a difference. Some of that might mean affordable housing, affordable child care. It also might mean services coming into the home to make the difference, supporting a mom or a dad who have mental health issues, being supportive of a grandparent who's providing kinship care. That preventative piece speaks volumes to children staying connected to their community. And then you don't have to grow the foster care system to care for children who are being removed from their homes.
How does this vary by state or by region? Are there certain areas of the country that are more facing a bigger problem, or is it kind of evenly spread out?
I think it's pretty evenly spread out. I'm sure every community has their own number of children who are being reported for abuse or neglect. Some communities have more drug and alcohol issues going on. Of course, poverty plays a huge role. When you don't have affordable housing, when you have the new poor, just think about how many people are now becoming homeless because properties, one, are being condemned, which is, they should be. We shouldn't have people living in unsafe living conditions. But we also have rents skyrocketing. I know of a person who's paying $1,200 for a convenient apartment, meaning it's the living room and is the bedroom and there's a little kitchen. I know someone who's paying $2,000 for a one-bedroom apartment. And so the children sleep in the living room and the little child sleeps with the parent in the bedroom. And so rents are going crazy. And so when people can't afford a living space that's decent, they make do. Some of those families are able to go live with relatives, and some of them aren't. And so we have people who are living in their cars and under bridges, in tents, in fields. We see them. Unfortunately, sometimes people choose not to see them, but they're there.
So a multitude of reasons why the numbers have grown, obviously. But is there a stigma attached to the system? I mean, we feel like whenever I hear something, it's kind of a negative about how
children are getting into homes that, you know, foster homes that aren't and aren't being treated well. Is that a problem? I mean, are we maybe becoming foster parents for the wrong reasons?
Matthew, you hit the point. There are individuals who are becoming foster parents for the wrong reason. It's not to get a new car. It's not to pay your home a mortgage. It should be about, first of all, being called to serve children and to serve their families who are struggling. It should be about wanting to make a difference in the life of a child by providing them structure, a safe place to live, meals to eat, opportunity for engagement, conversation, enrichment, that the child can go to school and have a sense of belonging and connectedness. Those are the reasons for becoming a foster parent. And if people aren't invested in the child and invested in helping that birth family make different choices and to mentor them and to show them that you're caring for their child while they get and do the work that they need to do to get their child back, then they're in it for the wrong reason.
Is there reform needed in the system itself? I mean, you can go to various agencies or whatever, but do you see need for kind of system-wide reform in how this is handled, or is that, you know, agency by agency?
I do believe that there needs to be system-wide reform, and it does also impact agency by agency. We don't do good sometimes, when I say we, government, in tweaking how government does business. Sometimes it takes the outside people coming in and saying, well, what about this policy? Or what about this policy? What about this? You know, let's streamline the paperwork. Let's streamline some of the policy so that people who want to serve, who want to be in the space and help to care for children can, and that it's not an overburdensome system. Okay. The other thing is we need, the system needs more quality foster families. The system needs more quality caseworkers, case managers who have reasonable caseloads, so that that caseworker is interacting with that bio family, interacting with that foster family. And so that takes system reform. And that also means that the governor's office and the budget committee and the legislature needs to have information so that they can make informed decisions to establish a budget for child welfare so that they can do the work that they need and are supposed to do.
In your years in this field, I'm sure you've seen not just those bad or horror stories, but some good ones too. And that's I'm sure what's kept you going to want to see more of those. But give us some examples of the good stuff that you've seen.
You know, some of the good stuff that I've seen are when a child has a caring foster family. Boy, you see children who maybe weren't invested in school, invested in learning. You begin to see them blossom. They have a safe place to live. They have somebody who's believing in them, somebody who's coaching and engaging with them, interacting and advocating with them in the school, paying attention to whether they have homework or not. And I've seen children who were making F's and D's go to C's and B's. And yes, even A's. I celebrate every time I see our young people graduating from high school, transitioning from middle school to high school, transitioning from elementary school to middle school. When those are wins. Those are opportunities to celebrate. And boy, when you have children in the foster care system and their foster families are being their advocate and celebrating with them, it makes a significant difference. These children are tomorrow's leaders.
Give us some idea for someone, trying to choose an agency for foster care. What are some of the things people should be looking for?
When a family is police are called to be a foster home for a child, they should select an agency that provides training, that provides oversight, that has a number that they can call 24 hours a day, and not get a voice message, but get a live person, so that if they need support or services in the middle of the night, that they have access to that, that they have opportunity to be engaging with that agency about concerns that they might have on behalf of that child, to say, okay, how do we access services? I believe this child might have educational delay. Who is it that I should be speaking with at the, in the school district or my, or that child's school, to get an IEP, an individual educational plan, or a 504 plan? That plan is something that they work with a school social worker, the school psychologist, to be able to put in place, so that that child's services needs are being met, so that they can be educationally successful. They want to ask those kinds of questions about the agency, so to know that that agency is going to be advocating for them with the child welfare agency that they are contracting with.
You know, when it's your own child, you kind of do what you, however you plan to raise the child. But how does that translate to, you know, bringing in a foster child? I mean, there have to be a lot of stipulations and regulations on how you handle the child, how you raise it. What is, does that become an issue for people, or is that fairly open? As long as you've already been approved to be a foster parent, they figure you're going to have some sense, or
Matthew, you bring, these are great questions. You know, that's why families need to go to the training and the orientation, because parenting a child who's engaged in the foster care system is different. There are policies that do need to be followed. Okay, you would think nothing of giving a child an aspirin or Advil, or and you're not writing that down as a birth parent. But if you're doing, you're giving any kind of medication to a child who's in foster care, there needs to be a medication log. Why? Because you're accountable. This is about safety. It's not like you're not being considerate about safety for your own children, but you're being asked to step in and be a surrogate parent. And so that safety is an issue, reporting back to the court, reporting back to that child welfare agency, that everything is being done decent and in order. So you have this med log, knowing that the child is getting their dental checkup and getting their well child checkup, that the child welfare agency has said, show us that you've taken the child to the dentist and to the doctor. You don't typically keep that kind of record keeping for your own birth child unless they are medically involved. And so those are, you know, some of the extra stipulations that families need to be involved in. You know, we think about families who have pets. Of course your pets are vaccinated. Of course you have a fence around your pool. Well, in child welfare, those are must-be's, must-haves, okay? And that someone's going to come in and inspect your home to make sure that that gate is there, or that fence is there, or that you can show me proof that your pets have their vaccinations. You know, that you have car insurance. You say, well, the law requires that you, if you're driving a car, that you have car insurance, right? Well, we know people who drive without it, right? But it, when child welfare, if you're going to be transporting a child, you have to have a valid driver's license, and you have to have current insurance. Even for your own self, you have to think about your health needs to be overseen by a physician. And so child welfare is going to want to know that your physician is saying that you're in good health to be able to care for a child who's coming into your home. Those are all safety issues. And so families maybe don't think about the things that they do normally, but when you're engaged with the child welfare system and helping to protect and care for a child who's in the foster care system, those safety issues have to be documented.
I've learned a lot in the last 15 minutes. I think of fostering as presenting different challenges, but do people come in and find the challenges too overwhelming, or do they usually have a good idea of what they're getting into if they've chosen that?
Yes and yes. People come to the trainings, they go to the orientations, they hear information. But until you have a child in your home, until you're faced with that, what that child needs and how you're going to be able to step up and step in to meet that child's needs, it's like, well, gosh, I thought the child would go to bed just like my kids go to bed. When I say it's time to take a bath, it's time to go to bed, that they would just settle down and go to bed. But they're not. Oh, wait a minute. It's midnight. They're still up. They're having a temper tantrum. What's going on? You know, and so it is a new experience. And I believe that people who are called to do this work, who are called to the gift of hospitality, letting their home be a safe place for a child, that they will rise to the occasion. Because where God calls you, He provides for you.
For someone considering this, what should be their first step? Educating themselves, or and finding the right agency? Where do you begin?
Matthew, I ask people to begin with prayer, because if God's not called you to this work, there's something else for you to do. There's lots of ways for people to be involved in with children who are in the child welfare system. Everybody's not called to be a foster parent, okay? So that's why I pray first. Second, yes, educate yourself. I want them to go on our website, waitnomore.org, waitnomore.org, and there is a Getting Started button. Click on that Getting Started button, and it will give you a whole list of information to help you get educated about becoming a foster parent. Okay, and then yes, where are the agencies? Our website also has a map and they, under resources, and they can click on that in their area, and they can find the agencies that are in their state. And so, and if they have questions, I would love to be able to talk with them. And there's a place on our website for them to be able to send me an email, ask questions, and I'll respond to them.
And again, that website, waitnomore.org. Sharon Ford has been our guest today. Dr. Ford, a nationally recognized child welfare consultant. She worked for 30 years with the Department of Child Welfare in Colorado. She's now working with the Focus on the Family organization as director for foster care and adoption. Dr. Ford, thank you for being with us. And we want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.